Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. Thank you for tuning in from across Canada and so many other countries like Australia, USA, UK, and more. I love hearing from you. So send me an email at fearlesswomenpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on Instagram. I'm very excited about my guest today. She's written a deeply personal lifestyle book about how to take the guilt out of pleasure and get to the heart of what you need and want in all aspects of your life. Boy, we need this right now. From family, home, and work to love and sex, I'm talking about Cynthia Loist. She's the author of Find Your Pleasure, and you also know her as co-host of CTV's The Social, where I had the pleasure of meeting her on the show. She has so many talents. She's going to tell us so much. Welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you so much for having me.
So delighted. We have so much to talk about, but maybe let's begin with how you're managing through these crazy times and how you're balancing so many competing demands.
Oh, Janice, I think we're all in this boat in a similar way. There are days where I feel like, okay, I got this. I'm okay. I've kind of leaned into this new normal. And then there are other days where I feel like I've just been sort of slammed on my butt and I don't know if I'm coming or going. There's no real balance right now. Like, I'm certainly not optimizing. I'm not optimal. I feel like, you know, when I really look at it, I'm kind of just moderating through life at a minimal level. Like, the house is dirty. The son is not doing schoolwork consistently. You know, like, in all ways, I'm kind of minorly failing, but I'm just trying not to beat myself up about it because I think that's something that goes against everything I believe in. I think we all have to really be kinder to ourselves right now and just accept that the best thing we can do is try to remain positive and do what we can.
I love that. And it's so, I think, helpful for all of us to know, hey, if Cynthia is feeling like she's moderating, maybe the rest of us can also say like, okay, I can be kinder to myself. You've got this incredible book. It's so inspiring. Find Your Pleasure, The Art of Living. What inspired you to write it? And you released it at the beginning of the year, pre-pandemic. And boy, it's like you're a visionary because we need it more now than ever.
Yeah, it's certainly true that I was not at all thinking, obviously, about the pandemic when the book was being written. The book kind of came out, it was an evolution out of my website, which is findyourpleasure.com. And really, I share this story in the book that back in 2013, when CTV's The Social first launched, I'd just recently given birth. I was about, you know, maybe 12 weeks into parenthood, new motherhood, and this new show was on the horizon. And while on paper, everything in my life was great, I had this great new job and this great supportive partner at home and a healthy child. Inside, I found myself slowly kind of unraveling. And I put on a brave face and every day would sort of go to work. And I just couldn't shake this niggling feeling in myself that I something was missing. And I knew it wasn't postpartum depression. I knew it was something more because I'd actually felt this kind of feeling beforehand. And it all came to a head one day on the show, which is a story I share in the book. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I ended up leaving the show that day and going home and crying my way sort of home. And it dawned on me that I couldn't remember the last time I'd done something truly, deeply pleasurable, and that was really just for me. And I realized I was kind of like almost surface skating through my life. And not only that, I was also mired in ambition and to-do lists and mother guilt and all these other pressures, some of which were real and some of which were in my own head. And I realized something had to change. And when I started reaching out to a lot of my female friends in particular, so many of them were feeling the same way. And so that began this journey on me trying to really slow down and get into this idea of pleasure, both in small ways and tapping into my senses, but also thinking about the bigger, larger pleasures in my life that I was kind of losing sight of. And so, yeah, eventually I started this website and eventually it led to this book, which you're right, has had, I feel like, more significance now, because if there's anything that we've learned through this pandemic, it's that life can and does change on a dime. And if you're not living for pleasure now, when are you going to start?
So true and so relevant. So when you talk about, you know, the ambition and having this long to-do list, nevertheless, putting out a book, as we both know, is a big to-do list. So how do you feel that you've got this significant project out and it is such a success and it's really resonating with people? How does that actually make you feel to go from that idea to actual output?
Well, it's really interesting. I'm obviously so grateful. And I also want to say that I feel so lucky that I was able to get it out there before everything shut down. There are so many authors that I know right now who are releasing books through Simon & Schuster and other publishers. Mm-hmm. And you really didn't get that opportunity and to meet people, to talk to people. And I feel very lucky. And I'm amazed also at the shift that has taken place where people are now reaching out and doing more podcasts and things like that, because we need people to read and we need people to connect with authors. When I started writing the book, I'll be honest, I was terrified. And I remember the night before the book launched and I knew I was going to be talking about it on the social, I was having a hard time sleeping and all these kind of like secret fears were burbling up to the surface. And I was thinking to myself, well, what happens if it's critically panned? What if people hate it? What if they don't even tell me that to my face? It just doesn't sell. And I had to sit with that feeling. And eventually I came to the conclusion of, you know what? It's okay. Even if there's only one person out there who enjoys it, maybe it's my mother. I did something. I accomplished something. And I think so often people get held back by fears, the fear of criticisms, the fear of failure. And I know I've done that in my past. And so my whole purpose is to lean into sometimes discomfort, because there are always pleasures waiting at the other side of that sometimes difficult terrain. And so I had to kind of like throw caution to the wind and just accept that if at the very least, I did something, I accomplished something and I was going to be happy with that. But it turns out it's been so much more. So I'm so grateful to the response that it's received.
Oh, it's so timely and you're so honest in it, which is beautiful. Let's talk a little bit about the actual writing process, this notion of getting your ideas down on paper, although likely it might be more on the computer, but do you have any tips for women who want to follow in your footsteps? Maybe not even as big of a, you know, step as a book, but that really want to start to shape their ideas and get them out there.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, while I was on tour, I met so many women who had spent a long time in their life and shared this story with me that they put other people ahead of themselves, whether that be their children or their partners, or they may have been caregiving for parents, and they couldn't even remember what they liked, what gave them pleasure. And so one of the things that I suggested to people is to really do a deep dive on yourself. And one of the questions, or a few of the questions that I think is really important for people to ask themselves if they don't know what brings them pleasure is, what do you do when you have a completely unscheduled day? Or what would you do? What would you choose to do for a living if money were no object? What was something that you, or some things that you loved to do as a child that you no longer indulge in? Those are some basic questions you can ask yourself to sort of get those creative juices flowing. Because I am a firm believer that everyone has an artist inside of them. I don't believe that everyone needs creativity, and we know that. There are tons of health benefits to that. In terms of writing, and this is true for many types of endeavors, I think the best advice is to just start. To just do it. And, you know, if everyone wrote one page a day at the end of the year, you'd have a book, right? And I think another important thing is to not always go back and read your stuff. I think you need to get it out and try to be as uncensored as possible in the moment. Don't think about who might read it or who might get offended or who might not like that. You got to get it out. And then you can go back at a certain point in time. But I think the biggest thing is to just start whatever that endeavor is. I get people who want to know, how do I get into TV? What should I do? I want to be on air. And I always say to that question, I always say, start with a craft first. Like, it's way easier nowadays to be a good cook and get into TV, or to be a good interior designer and get into TV, or have any kind of thing that you do that you want to show. That is the best way into television. So I think start with your passions and let it flow from there.
Oh, so much practical advice. This is amazing, Cynthia. Let's hear about a time you were fearless.
Oh my gosh. I read this question. I feel like I'm one of those people who has a lot of fears. I have a lot of anxieties. I come from a long line of anxious women, and I write about this in the book as well. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes there have been moments where my fear has just about held me back. And I'm so glad that somehow I've been able to learn and push myself through it. And I'll give you a story. I spent years behind the scenes as a producer for television and for documentary series. And it was a quiet space to be. I got to learn how to do, you know, lighting to a certain degree and to understand editing and to put things together and be behind the scenes and for no one to know who I am. But around 2008, the bottom started to fall out of the economy and there were lots of people in television who were losing their jobs. And an executive at that time said to me, I think you should try doing some on-air work. And I said, no. I was like, no, I'm not. Sorry, that's not who I am. No interest in going down that road. But as I started to see lots of my friends lose their jobs, I decided I came to a kind of fork in the road. And I thought to myself, I can either accept the possibility that I might lose my job, or I can pivot and go towards this thing that actually, quite frankly, scares me, which is to pitch something that I host and produce, to use both skill sets together. Well, one I didn't have a skill for yet, but I thought maybe I could learn how. So I was presented with the terrifying notion once he agreed to greenlight this show that I could host and produce with basically next to no staff. Then I was confronted with the very real situation where, oh my God, I got to learn how to do this. And when I say I was petrified, it is no word of an exaggeration. My partner, who is a camera person by trade, he's a director of photography, he sat me down at home. And it was just him and me, and I'd been together with him for years. And he would get me to try to say things on to camera, and I couldn't do it. There were so many fears. There were so many apprehensions. I ended up taking improv classes. I went to Toastmasters, which is a public speaking sort of like meetup group that they have factions all around the world. And then I also just made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of embarrassing mistakes live on television. And still to this day, there are days that I have where I'm a bit off my game, where I'm not great at what I do at times. But I will say the one thing that has always been true is that I like to use my voice, or I've learned how to use my voice. And I like storytelling and I liked connecting with people. So I realized I had to get out of my own way to become fearless.
I love that. But I think it's a really important point that you made there, though. You had the willingness and the desire and to get comfortable being uncomfortable. But you also took very direct steps, as you mentioned, Toastmasters and improv. Like, those are amazing tips for anybody who's thinking about how to push themselves. So thank you for that. I think that's so relevant. And maybe we have a little bit of extra time. Maybe we have absolutely no time right now, but we can put it on that long to-do list as an idea to consider going forward.
Mm-hmm. I think you do have to put those steps down. I gave myself a time limit as well, because I do think that there's a point at which I thought, I'll give myself 6 months. And if I really, truly, if there's no joys in this, if there's no pleasures coming out of this, because it really was not fun at first, but there was still this dangling carrot at the end of the rainbow. And so I gave myself a time limit. I learned as much as I could. And by the end of that 6 months, I was starting to see the joys. So I think all those things together help if you've got a dream that you really want to explore.
It's very practical, and thank you for highlighting that as well. This notion of an urgency and putting that time limit really makes you, I think, sharpen your goals and really makes you focus on it. So many practical tips. All right, here's a quote for you, Cynthia. Beauty begins the moment you decide to be yourself. Now, as a fashion icon and a well-known personality, what do you want women to keep in mind about putting their best foot forward? And I know right now many of us may be, you know, just a sweatshirt and legging kind of a sneaker foot forward, but eventually life will come back. So what do you want women to think about?
I love that quote, the idea that it's so true. I look back at my life. I've always been interested in fashion and clothing. And I think the funny thing was, is I also felt very awkward for a long time in early high school. Like I was trying to fit into an identity and a kind of popular look. And I see this with my, with younger people in my life right now. Like mm-hmm. I have a couple of nieces and friends with kids who are in their teenage years and they all wear a kind of uniform. And I'm like, oh, I remember those times where you kind of had like a limited amount of things that you could choose to put on your body because you didn't want to be the person who stood out as a weirdo. And the one thing I'm trying to encourage with my son is to really be true to who he wants. What does he find stylish and what does he like to put together for himself? I'm so fascinated by this because imagine if we were kind of unbridled in that way all along. Like the moment when I hit, I think around 16, 17, I really came into myself and then it's only evolved from there about mm-hmm. being like, okay, I like this and I don't always know why, but I'm going to, it does take a certain amount of courage to choose things to put on your body or not. Like in terms of like, if you don't even feel like maybe makeup's not your thing, to go makeupless in a makeup filled world or to choose vintage and previously loved clothes instead of going with fast fashion, like all these little choices we make. So many people think that they're superfluous, but I think that they're a huge part of our identity and who we show to the world. I get a great pleasure out of fashion. And again, I write about this in the book, but I think it is about authenticity. And one of the things that I also think is that one of the things I've learned is that just because I like it on somebody else also doesn't necessarily mean I'll like it on me. And conversely, sometimes I've surprised myself where I've actually gone, I don't even like this, but I'm going to try it on. And I've fallen in love. So I think fashion is about play and it should be fun and it should be pleasure filled. And one of the last things I would just say on this is that I hope we can all kind of agree to stop judging other women for the fashion choices that they make. And I see a lot of it. I'm on social media. The shows talks a lot about fashion. We show a lot of what we wear normally. And there's a lot of critiques that still come up and I see them and I think to myself, I hope you're kinder to yourself than you are to other people. But I hope we can ideally do both, be kind to other women and their choices and also be kinder to ourselves.
Yeah, we've had so many amazing people on the show here and many have talked about the unfortunate keyboard courage that people have. And, you know, this idea that criticism, you know, is sometimes defined as the price of success, it certainly can be hard to be a woman in the public eye. What are your tips for thriving when all eyes are on you? Do you have specific social media strategies?
I mean, for me right now, what I used to do was be extraordinarily wounded if anybody was unkind to me, and I would spin and I would be wounded remarkably. You know, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but over the years, I've definitely developed a callus around my heart and my emotions to some degree. I think you have to. I also try sometimes to reach for empathy, and I try to imagine what is this person going through that they feel that this is going to make them feel better. And when I try to picture who they are in life, it makes me feel like I can reach for empathy sometimes. Mm-hmm. I also am a big proponent of mute. I personally don't like block just because a lot of certain types of trolls will use that as a badge of honor, but I encourage anybody to block if it's not something that will be used against them. And I hope for a future. I think social media, it can be wonderful, but unfortunately right now I'm seeing a lot of really negative impacts of it. And I hope there's a future where people are more accountable. And I look forward to some creative person, maybe there's a listener right now, who's going to create a kind of social media that is based on more kindness and more nuance. The world is missing nuance right now. We're so quick on both the left and the right to leap to a judgment, to leap to an opinion. And I think more measured approaches is what the world needs.
I love that. So let's go back to Canadian designers because I want to make sure I'm not muting that. Who do you love right now?
I'm a huge fan of Claudia Day. She's one of the designers who are part of Horses Atelier, and they make very simple classic pieces. They're done right here in Canada and in Toronto. And they're sort of timeless and comfortable, but also like a kind of soft sexiness. And Aurora James, I haven't bought anything from her, but I want to. She makes Brother Vellies is her brand, and their shoes, and they're incredible. Again, ethically sourced. She goes to places in the world like Africa, and she treats her artisans like with such incredible respect and reverence. And she's right also from Canada. And my co-hosts, I have to shout them out because Marcy Ian has a shoe line. Mm-hmm. And Melissa Grello, who's also on my team as well. And she's a kids clothing line called Mark, and Mercy Ian's is Ian Lee. And so I think those are some of my favorite designers right now. But I've of course always been and always will be a vintage and consignment lover. I think that clothes have a kind of soul to them, as do many objects. And again, I read pieces about this in the book about, mm-hmm. I think there's something about owning things that have been previously loved. I always imagine the story of the person who wore certain clothes. And I like the idea of taking a little bit of a piece of their story into mine.
Oh, I love that too. Absolutely. So what's some advice, Cynthia, for ambitious women? And maybe as you're thinking about that, the best advice you've ever received?
My advice for ambitious women is to remember that in your plans to be ambitious, to take moments of quiet, to really check in with yourself and make sure that that ambitious streak is leading you in the right direction. Because sometimes in the quiet moments, if we're honest with ourselves, we might realize that actually what we're reaching for isn't truly what we want. And I mean, I'm a big proponent of therapy and life coaches as well. There's some great life coaches out there to just keep you on track with, like, are you still reaching for your goals that are come from the deep part of your soul? Or are you reaching for maybe only financial goals right now? And again, this will depend on the phase you are in your life. Sometimes you might need to reach just for financial goals. But I think it's always checking back in to make sure that you're reaching for something that's authentic and serving to you. In terms of best advice I've ever received, there's two pieces. One came from my partner, Jason, who early on when I was, years ago, I used to moonlight as a belly dancer. And I used to also get a lot of anxiety before I would do shows. And I would call him up and I'd be like, why do I do this? I hate feeling. I hate this fluttering. Why do I do this to myself? And he said, I hate the feeling of nerves. And he said, that's not nerves. That's just misplaced excitement. And it was a reminder, and I think this is true for many things in life, that you can look at things through different lenses. And so somehow it was helpful, instead of focusing on I was nervous, to see it as I was excited, but it was a kind of wonky version of excitement. And sometimes I think putting a different spin on a stressful situation or any kind of situation that's uncomfortable is helpful. And lastly, a writer friend of mine, when I was just starting out with like the babiest idea of the website, she said to me, don't forget that nothing you ever write is wasted. And I think that is just such a beautiful, simple piece of advice, because you may feel like sometimes you're going down certain paths. And I think this is true in life, and you're learning things and you're not even sure why you're doing it. And maybe you feel like it actually isn't leading you down the right path. Chances are you've learned something, and it will inform you in different parts of your life. So nothing you ever take on to learn, to experiment with, to create is ever wasted.
Oh, I love that. Now take me back then, all the way to your 10-year-old self. What was that girl like? Where were you living? What were you into? Were you already liking vintage clothes, and were you taking stuff from your grandmother? What were you like?
I would often, my mother had this incredible, like this really beautiful sapphire blue dress that she had worn. It was like taffeta. And I just remember like being enthralled with that and her jewelry collection. When I was 10 years old, I lived in a small town just north of Toronto. And I just, to be honest, there were things I loved about my family life. Obviously I had a great family, still do. But by the time I was around 13, I was itching to get out. Mm-hmm. But at that time at 10, I was into Prince. I was in, which I still am. I was into scary movies and scary books, Stephen King. I was into art and creating art. I was really into dance, and I was already into kind of like things that were sort of old. Like I liked, Happy Days. I liked, Grease. So I was already into sort of a sense of nostalgia. And I really, it's interesting being a parent, because you see all these qualities. You know, no one ever told me that having a child would be a little bit like revisiting yourself in the past, because not only do your kids often kind of look like you, but you can see aspects of your personality and who you were. And so the things that he's attracted to, I'm proud to say he's into like Scooby-Doo, vintage, and he's into scary movies that I used to love as a kid. And that's been a really, really amazing thing to just sort of see those points of connection and how things get passed down.
You're such a fabulous, fearless woman. You know, you're right there in the center of Canada doing really interesting things, and you've written this beautiful, incredible book. Here's your final question. What's your dream for Canada?
I mean, my dream right now is to get past this pandemic with as little collective trauma and individual trauma as possible. But I also really, what I was saying before, I really look forward to us coming together and they're seeing less divisiveness. I think we need more nuanced conversations and challenging conversations, and people need to listen more, even to the ideas that we don't especially like. And I think that's the only way forward. People need to really start to genuinely hear each other's pain and struggles and start to move forward with maybe more understanding for what connects us all, but also what is unique to us.
Cynthia, such an important message right now, such a beautiful dream for Canada. Nuance is everything. You have written this beautiful, deeply personal lifestyle book. You're reminding us how important it is to take the guilt out of pleasure and to get to the heart of what we need and want in all aspects of life. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Cynthia Loist, author of Find Your Pleasure. It's available absolutely everywhere. She's the co-host of CTV's The Social, an important voice in Canada. Thank you so much for being on the show, Cynthia.
Thank you. It really was a pleasure for me, Janet. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.